The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line on 66 13 68 between now and 1 o'clock. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Comment passed on Friday about how little promotion of the Isle of Man there is in Southern Ireland at the moment. Well, if you're listening in Southern Ireland, or indeed if you visit Southern Ireland, if you have contacts in Southern Ireland, it would be nice to know what the view is. If you're in Southern Ireland, do you ever see any reference to the Isle of Man? Is it in newspapers, magazines? Well, of course, people aren't reading newspapers much these days. So is it on television, any TV adverts? The Isle of Man always had a very strong connection with the south of Ireland, with the Republic, as with the north as well. But there are more connections to Northern Ireland than there are to Southern Ireland. Obviously, the Manxman can't get into Dublin Harbour because of regulations there, but she does go to Belfast and the Fastcraft goes to both. Any thoughts on this? And as I mentioned, obviously since COVID, a lot of things have changed, including the frequency and cost of flights to and from the Republic. But any thoughts on this? And particularly with the proximity of the Irish ports getting to Europe. Maybe a lot less hassle getting the boat to Ireland, driving to the south of Ireland, and getting a ferry, car ferry, to the north of Spain, south of France. Anyway, just a thought, if it's something that you've done or would like to do and have been put off by the cost or frequency, then do get in touch. Your caller will be disappointed. Last Friday, we were talking about the fact that fibre is on its way and the copper network is being decommissioned on the Isle of Man. Colin dropped a note in on 488 just to say your caller will be disappointed here that Manx Telecom own the copper and fibre network. And removing copper is not just an island thing, it's happening across the UK too. A message also that just said the post, there was a guy, Byron it was, wasn't it, who was talking about the postal connection to Southern Ireland and how it keeps bouncing back, and he has to send presents to nephews and nieces a month ahead. The post from my brother in Yorkshire now takes 2 weeks, says H. 2 weeks on 768. Yesterday, there was a big ship in the bay. There was. It was a Viking cruise liner, wasn't there? Cruise passengers roaming around the promenade in Douglas, lots of them taking pictures of the outside of the Gaiety Theatre, trying the front door to see if they could get in. It was locked. There was no horse tram running, but two full electric railway carriages ready to begin showing the tourists the sights. So where's the joined-up thinking, really, with the tourist board? What a missed opportunity that was yesterday for opening the Gaiety Theatre and running the horse trams. We know the cruise passengers won't really visit cafes and restaurants while they're here, but they'd certainly have paid for access to the Gaiety Theatre and to the horse trams. Of course, it being a Sunday, it was different. You can't really just open the Gaiety Theatre willy-nilly. A lot of it relies on volunteers. But it's a thought, isn't it? The Gaiety Theatre is a Frank Matcham theatre. It is world-renowned. And perhaps there may have been a few theatre fans on board that cruise liner who would have liked to go inside the Gaiety Theatre and perhaps would have liked to try the horse trams. I wonder how they got from the cruise liner, from the berth, to the electric trams. Did they walk? I wonder how many more aerial surveys the Manx government's going to need to sort out the rateable value of property. Yesterday, there was an aircraft that did 13 passes north to south, says Chris up north on 690. Was that the Is that the official plane that did that? Wasn't somebody just on a joyride, was it? If it was you, tell us. We don't seem to have a tourist board on the Isle of Man. They seem to think it's a way of saving money, says Alan. Well, the tourist board, or the Department of Tourism, went ages and ages ago. It was morphed into economic development, wasn't it, at one time? The last Minister of Tourism was possibly Mr. Cretney, the Minister of Fun. And he seemed to enjoy it. He enjoyed the fun. Now we don't. It's all subsumed into the Enterprise Department. It's one of the Enterprise Departments. It's Visit Isle of Man. Their strategy, I think, seems to be digital. Whereas social media and digital impressions, quite how reliable digital impressions are, well, nobody seems to know, because lots of people make a living in other jurisdictions with server farms just selling clicks. So they could be views. We don't quite know. Anyway, it will be nice to find out more on this, and if you have an opinion, then do get in touch. You must applaud Mr. Johnson, the DfE minister, as today he stated in Timwell that this year there were nearly 100,000 people came to the Isle of Man for the TT, not including cruise passengers. Is this a record, says 384, anonymous 384. Legally, the Isle of Man government can't go into debt, so I can't see how the constituent parts of the Isle of Man government, i.e. Manx Care, are able to overspend and run up £15 million debt, says Gaz. Well, it's not, is it? It's an arm's length organisation. Whereas before, and let's face it, before, the Department of Health and Social Care years ago always used to go back asking for more money. There was a tradition. The budget was announced, and then a few months later, DHSC will be coming back for more. So it's always happened. But anyway, Gaz, point taken. Thank you for that. Thanks also to the people asking about the reuse and recycle. How easy is it to get rid of your rubbish as well as refuse collections? You might rely on the nearest civic amenity site to dispose of the likes of cardboard, glass, of course, even old furniture. You can lob stuff into the skips and there they go. The Southern Civic Amenity Site recently faced an uncertain future until the Department of Infrastructure took it over. So DOI's taken a bill through Timbald that would give it more powers to intervene if there are similar challenges in the future, and a waste strategy is due to be published in the autumn. Do you have a waste strategy? Do you have a view on what we should be doing regarding the civic amenity sites? And they've changed, of course. What they can take has changed in the past year. If you've got any thoughts on the matter, do get in touch. Wilf's first on today. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, it's just a very quick one. It's just to satisfy my own curiosity. Didn't I hear quite a while ago on Man and Line that our new boat couldn't do Southern Ireland because it didn't cover EEC rules in as much as it didn't have enough life-saving gear on board? And so they refuse to have it.
I think
is that right?
Something along those lines. I think it doesn't have lifeboats. It's got these big inflatable slides where
that silly thing. Yeah,
you whiz down into the ocean.
I think that's the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason. That's another clever move by our government, isn't it? To buy a boat that you can't use. Very clever. There we are.
I wonder. Are they still sending logs from Ramsey, by the way, Wilf?
Yes, it seems to, yes. They're still at it. I don't know where they're getting them from, but they're still getting them.
The plantations, I think, Wilf.
Yeah, and every time they come down the quay, they shake my house.
Okay. All right, thanks for that, Wilf. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
16 minutes past 12. The connections to Southern Ireland and what we do about it. And reuse and recycle. Reuse and recycle. Have you got the boxes in your house? Do you recycle? How much do you put in the dustbin? And how diligent are you in your recycling? Well, here's the Minister, the Department of Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Haywood, MHK, on this whole point of reusing and recycling.
There's the well-known situation up at Bride, and currently the department is spending money subsidising contributions into the Northern Civic Amenity site to keep it open, because we recognise how valuable that site is. But if local authorities decide to walk away from that, and all civic amenity sites have their challenges, they're all difficult facilities to run, where does it leave us? You know, we talked at the time about it, you know, possible increases in fly tipping and all sorts of things. We'd see all sorts of inappropriate waste going into the household bins, and you know, the gate charges that it would go up. It's just not a situation that we can countenance. So this gives us the powers to step in if we need to, and to keep providing those services. I'm working on the waste strategy that we're due to deliver in the autumn, and I can expect a kind of refocusing that pushes it back. And then I want to see the amenity sites kind of flexing towards that model as well. I think one of the things that people really prize about amenity sites is that those reuse facilities. We've seen them under pressure, and there have to be some, so there has to be some reasonable governance about it. But actually, from an environmental perspective, that is clearly where we need to move to, and that's what we'll be supporting in the future.
It's Michelle Haywood, the Minister. One organisation that uses the civic amenity sites regularly is Beach Buddies Isle of Man. You know, the people with that big red utility vehicle. The charity's founder, Bill Dale. And Bill says the facilities are vital, the amenity sites are vital, but he says there needs to be a more uniform policy across all four civic amenity sites.
What I've never understood is why there's not a common policy in all four of them. You know, you go to one and they'll say you can leave certain things here, but you can't leave that. And then others will say, yeah, leave whatever you like is okay. And then others will pretty much turn you away. So it could do with sorting out on that level alone. And if we find it confusing, then I imagine lots of other people find it confusing. So I think there needs to be a good policy which is everybody understands, which is the same everywhere on a little place like the Isle of Man. Everybody I talk to says, why on earth is the reuse being shut down? And you get a different excuse from every amenity site. Douglas operates theirs very well.
Have you noticed any impact that that's had in terms of litter around the island?
I don't think anybody would deny that there's been an increase in fly tipping. I mean, not a dramatic increase, but certainly noticeable, because it's the sort of thing that gets reported to us. You know, if somebody spots something in the middle of nowhere, we tend to get the phone call and we'll go and shift it.
Bill Dale, well, we're very lucky to have Beach Buddies around, voluntarily cleaning the beaches and other places as well. They've done the Murrock Lake. They've done lanes around Douglas. And the likelihood of fly tipping has increased, as Bill Dale says. Not much of it, but because we tend to know it. It's very difficult to be anonymous, difficult to be out of sight on the Isle of Man. So it will get reported. And obviously, if the item can be identified, it will be tracked back to the person. But do you use the reuse sites? And why are the reuse sites in some places just been, you know, pushed to one side? I mean, surely in this green new world, in the you know, where we use as much as possible, then surely the authorities should be making it easy, I mean very easy, for us to recycle and reuse. Wouldn't that be the way of telling us that they really believe in what they're doing, instead of putting hurdles in people's way? Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I was thinking this morning when I heard the news that no planning permission had been sought at the moment for the wind farm in the south of the island.
Yeah.
And it crossed my mind that they were chirping on over the last couple of years. They put £40 million into a bucket to help out for the green scene and the various aspects of it getting used. How much has that money has been transferred, say, to the MUA to progress their wind farm on the grounds of it being green? How much has the DOI sequestered to push forward the 20-mile-an-hour limit in the same reason for being green and safety? is this slowly being milked, or is that money? Nobody hears anything about it. And 40 million is not a small amount. And that was sitting in the government coffers primarily for environmental reasons and the bioscene and everything. But it's 40 million pounds that could be used elsewhere. Well, perhaps they could put overtime in for the horse trams on a Sunday. You know, those boys don't mind. They put an odd hour or two in. But that was a classic example when I heard there that, I can't remember who it was, just said it, that the Gaiety Theatre was shut. And, you know, these are the tourists that come into the island to see what the island can present to them. And they shut them. You know, you might have put a cardboard replica on the promenade or a picture of it there.
Yeah.
And the actual theatre where people want to go to is not open.
Well, you can just imagine some of these tourists, some of these cruise passengers, you know, they've got internet, they've got Wi-Fi on there. They'll be looking to the Isle of Man. But if they're theatre fans, it'll punch up the Gaiety Theatre, Frank Matcham, 125 yeah. years. And the darn thing is closed.
Yep. Well, I was up at the Obscura yesterday morning, and we had visitors coming in through, and there was a man and his wife, and they'd come over on the island specially. I can't remember where they were from, but they were related to Sir William Hillary through his wife's family. And he said to me, there's a statue somewhere here. He said, where about? And I said, well, just, this is early in the morning. I was just opening up. And I said, well, if you nip up just around the corner, it's there. And I gave him a little bit of potted history for what little knowledge I've got on it. And he was all made up. They'd come over especially because of the relationship to them, to Sir William Hillary.
Yeah.
And they didn't know that he'd lived in that particular area and the various other bits and pieces. He's buried in St. George's Churchyard.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were all made up with it. Well, this is what these people have come especially to the island for, just that. And luckily, well, gladly, I was able to help them out on it. But Lord knows where they would pick anything up. And that, as I say, is what tourism's about. And they don't see the, it's Monday to Friday,
yeah,
9 o'clock until five for tourism,
well,
as far as
as you say, it, Monday to Friday, the Monday to Friday mentality speaks at, sort of hints at bureaucracy, doesn't it? People who
it
work
does.
Monday to Friday.
And they finish early on a Friday, say 3 o'clock, and you know, oh, it's our work leisure time. But work-leisure time is what these people are spending their money on when they come to the Isle of Man. I've got some friends that are off down to Blackpool in there, and that's going from Scotland. They were going to come here a couple of years ago, but it was nearly £300 each to fly from Scotland to here.
Yeah.
They, you know, they can go from the continent for that. For a fortnight, and they're only going to come here for a couple of, well, for 5 days, I think it was, and it's going to be £600 just to get here.
Yeah.
But going back to the Frank Matcham, that is unique, and like a lot of things on the island here, they close on Friday tea time, so that the tourist board, tourist industry, Department of Leisure, whatever they call themselves, can close and they can have a long weekend. And now, if you go down to the sea terminal, you'd be lucky to get a couple of suitcases in there now in the welcome centre.
I mean, luckily, if they'd come on a Saturday, it may have been open, because I know the Friends of the Gaiety do tours of the Gaiety, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I've been promised myself to go. I've been in there dozens of times, even when Mervyn was in there, Mervyn Stokes. And without Mervyn Stokes, that place would not exist now. The volunteers, brilliant. But for the people that own it, the Isle of Man government who operate and everything like that, to close it, and that is only one that we know about. I know the Groves up in Ramsey. That's another one that was given to the people of the island. And I've been there several times, and it's brilliant. But again, a remark by a chap that does the work on the voluntary, and you know him, I won't mention his name, he said, oh, it's very rarely open. You know, and they wonder why people have said to the Isle of Man, that you go on TikTok now and it's showing you beautiful scenery all over the island, and people are going to come to that. And the people off the island are doing more advertising on TikTok than what the Department of Leisure, whatever they call them, Enterprise. They should have somewhere where it is tourist board.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's a tourist industry. And it's out there. Just go and get it.
Okay. All right. Howard, we appreciate it. And do you have a good weekend there? A good Sunday at the Camera Obscura?
Excellent. We had a lot of people come up from the ship that was in yesterday. I was very, very surprised at the numbers that came up. And, we weren't swamped because it's not the easiest of places to get to. But having said that, they had made the distinct effort. And some of them actually had little brochures that we have. Where they got them from, I don't know. But they had been introduced to it. And I seriously doubt if it's our Department of Enterprise that's done anything like that.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care. Cheers. Bye now.
All right, 27 minutes past 12. It was I was told years and years ago by people who worked in public relations and marketing that majorities are made up of minorities, in that if you get the occasional tourist, if you get the occasional inquiry, the more you husband those inquiries and the more you grow those inquiries, it will grow into an industry. Takes a lot of work, you have to be diligent, and you have to keep your eye on detail. We have lots of small things on the Isle. We don't have a massive overall offering on the Isle of Man. We don't have an enormous theme park. We don't have a football team here, a big football team. Apologies to FC Isle of Man. But we have lots of small things. So we have our historical genealogy. Lots of people have got relatives who come from the Isle of Man. We have the internment industry, if you like. We had two internment, big internment regimes in the First and Second Wars. We have the BGs, we have the TT, we have the Southern Hundred, we have Radio Caroline North. There are lots of things. There's Frank Matcham, there's George Formby, there's Norman Wisdom. There are lots of small things that, if we put them all together, are enormous. It's just a matter of telling people about them. What do you think about this? It was an official Cessna F406 twin engine belonging to Reconnaissance Ventures Limited, all visible on Flight Radar 24, says Chris in the north. So, yes, somebody was surveying the Isle of Man yesterday. Vivian's on now. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Andy. Just a little comment. I wasn't out yesterday, but there's a lady from where I live here in Mayfield who came in and said there was somebody looking for something to do in Ramsey yesterday. There was a coach in and there was a couple of cafes open, and that was about all. Why don't they take them over to the Moorook Park? Coaches park in Dale Street and they're left to wander. Whereas if they were taken over to the Moorook Park, they've got two cafes there, they've got the beautiful gardens, they've got the promenade. You're talking about the internment. Well, they were interned on Ramsey Promenade. You know, there's all sorts of things, but they never take them to the right place.
I'm just trying to think. The swing bridge isn't open until the 1st of August. Can you walk across it, or is it just...
Oh, you can walk across it, but right. You can't drive across it.
So they could have parked on Shore Road in Ramsey by Ballaclone Stadium, and you could have...
Of course, they could have done. But why are these coaches not told these things?
Well, you wonder, don't you?
Like a few years ago, there was a coach, because they're... satellite told them to go up Faulty Will, they got stuck.
Oh dear.
You know, but I know it's common sense to us, but it's not to these people that drive coaches.
And that's the point. That's the point, Vivian. Yes. Because we see it all the time, we think everybody else knows it.
Exactly. But I just thought it was such a beautiful day yesterday. and they were wandering around Ramsey. There was, but they could have been over the Moorook Park, along the harbour, all over the place. But because they're told to go up Parliament Street, because I've heard the people on the coaches tell them where to go, and I just think, you don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, all right.
But anyhow,
good to hear from you.
That's just my thought for the day.
Very welcome it is. Thanks, Vivian.
Thank you, Andy. Bye.
29 minutes before one, and Matt joins us now on Man in Line. Matt will be here in just... Oh, here's Matt now. I think we've found Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very well.
Good. It's just going back to Howard's call before, and I totally understand his point of view about the tourism and the placing of venues for our holidaymakers to come and see productions or one nights or bands. I think the difference is now is that we're not going back to the 1960s anymore. It's a totally different generation of people. There's currently a very good show on Little Chop of Horrors at the moment. Followed by that will be Charlie's Chocolate Factory. Now, I know we get a lot of people from the UK that come over to see our productions here that actually think it's touring productions of professionals, and then we make them aware it's all locals. Christine Wilde will be doing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang following on from that very, very soon. And then you've also got the Operatic Society, Douglas Corey Union, what was the GNS stage. So there is a lot that does go on that is all brought in locally,
yeah.
All funded locally by some amazing angels, some amazing sponsors to come for that. But you have to understand, I think nowadays, something that I understand now is that the theatre and the Villa Marina, it's a business. You know, it cannot run on fresh air. It costs a lot of money to put the productions on within there. Thank you to our angels and sponsors who were able to do it. But it's not open door regime anymore. You know, even the tour of the gates, you know, that costs money. You have to bring somebody in, you have to open the theatre up completely. It has to be housed, has to be manned.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the team doing within there. And they do a damn good job. I think a lot of it's not really seen because it's just not the summer seasons of the days of the...
Yeah.
John Inman, the Barry Humphreys, yeah, you know, of all them, you know.
Times have changed, and let's get things straight away. This is not having a go at people like Seamus Shea and the people who run the Gaiety Theatre, and also the wonderful friends of the Gaiety Theatre. It's just,
absolutely,
from the outside, you would think that more could be made off it with a bit more organisation, Matt.
I think, truthfully, Andy, there's a lot of organisation that goes on that people aren't aware of. A lot of it now is calendar-wise to see who can be booked in and do whatever they can to get a production, to get a slot within there. It's not just about the production. There's also the rehearsal time, the technical time, the lighting, the sound, to put a show on. You can't just walk that theatre overnight and do a show there and then. There's a massive team behind it,
yeah,
that have to get it ready. I think what goes in behind the scenes is missed. And, you know, in some ways, you know, Manx Radio are down there, they'll do production calls, they'll be coming and seating from front when the books have done and they've been written and the ages and stuff from the theatre within. So, you know, the negativity side of what we can't provide now that was provided back in the day when there were the big summer seasons, when there was Miss Isle of Man, when there was all the big shows that were on, them days are sadly have moved on now. And so I think we're really lucky to have what we have is put in there at a quality that is always, always praised from anyone that comes and sees. So, you know, let's hope that we can carry on doing that for years to come.
Okay, good to hear from you. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
25 to 1 on Man in Line today. We were in the walking to the beach yesterday and happened to see scum collecting. It's actual scum collecting by the North Shore Bridge and the road across from Moorook Park. I have no idea what it was, but there was an oily sheen. And thank you, Nick the Skip, who sent me some photos of it. Anybody knows anything about that? The horse trams were running yesterday. Also, why are there no public charging points for e-bikes on the Isle of Man? Says John. A note in that just says there was no way I was paying to tip a washing machine, so I chopped it up and put it in my bin out of principle. Thank you, 790. I have to say, somebody called about this a month or so ago and said, having to pay to recycle a washing machine or paying to recycle white goods in general is paying twice. Now, I'm led to believe that if your white goods, whether it's a fridge, whether it's an oven, whether it's a dishwasher, if it was made in one of the European countries, you know, by people like Zanussi and what have you, then included in the cost of it, including in the wholesale cost of the retailer, is a recycling fee. So in Europe, if you want to get rid of white goods, washing machine, fridge, dishwasher, you take it to a tip and they look a code up on the serial number on that machine, and they'll see that the cost of recycling has been paid by the manufacturer. So our white goods come under the same category. You've paid already and you're having to pay again. Somebody called in, I think, or sent a long text about this a while ago and just said, anything like that, I get the angle grinder out. Now, it's not what you're supposed to do, but that, it seems, is what is happening regarding reuse and recycle. And who's making the money out of the costs of recycling white goods on the Isle of Man? Where does that go, do you wonder? As a tourist attractions, as tourist attractions go, nothing works here anymore, says 068. Craigneish looks closed, it looks tired. I keep mentioning the truly dreadful plywood cow in the cow house. It's an embarrassment. Most of the museums seem to be closed. The Grove's only open odd days. The horse trams, well, I'm a bit ashamed to live here at the moment. Trouble is, everything is centred around motorbikes and cycling. Not everybody even likes them. Well, we make the most of what we got. It has to be said, the TT is world-renowned. It's world-famous. If you like, it is our biggest attraction. But it's only 2 weeks of the year. But I take your point, 068, and thanks for making it. And Pauline's with us now. Hi, Pauline.
Hi, Andy. I want to speak about the Queen's Pier in Ramsey.
Yeah.
They're busy restoring the pier. And that pier is open every Sunday from 2 o'clock till 5 o'clock for people to go on it free of charge. They can walk out and see all the work that's being done on the pier now. They've got tea, coffee, fruit juices, lots of lovely homemade cakes. I was there on duty yesterday, and we were quite busy with people coming in. And the beach, actually, on the South Shore is also very busy yesterday. I think it has been all week.
So you're a volunteer there, are you?
I am a volunteer. I'm one of the fundraisers, volunteer. I help to make the cakes on my duty days.
Oh, excellent. What are the cakes like?
They're lovely. They're all homemade ones.
Oh, fantastic. So I understand as well, it's accessible for wheelchairs and mobility scooters.
Wheelchairs. You can take your pets on there as well.
Was the train running yesterday, Pauline?
Yes, it was, yes. Train's quite busy there.
Good.
People go as far as, you know, they've got now with the restoration and bring them back again. And seats all the way along for people to sit on and have a rest.
Okay, good.
So and it's all free of charge.
This is every Sunday. It's free of charge, but obviously you'll accept as much money as people throw at you, I take it.
Oh, yes, please. Yes. It costs a lot of money to restore that pier.
Oh, and the price is going up every week as well, by the sound of it.
It will be, yes.
All right. Pauline, we appreciate it and have to give Queen's Pier a plug. Thanks for calling today.
Yes, please. Also, can I just mention recycling?
Yeah.
Yeah, the recycling out at Balladoole, you can't recycle there anymore. They've closed that down. And I'm also a Ramsey commissioner, and I'm bringing up at the next meeting a motion to reopen that recycle spot out there at Balladoole, because there's a lot of people that have asked me to open that. And I'm having a bit of a trouble at the moment with some people on the commissioners. You know, they don't want it reopened. They've got too much work on. They can't be bothered. It's a low priority. Well, I'm afraid it's not a low priority. There's an awful lot of people want that reopened.
And the other thing is, Pauline, it's a government. This is a government policy as well to reuse and recycle. So if there's
there's no reason to keep that closed. Yeah. There's room out there. I know that they had to have electrical items there kept undercover and that, but just using up too much room for that. They don't need to have all that room. There is room there to put the recycling open again.
Okay.
I've been out and had a look at it.
I appreciate it, Pauline. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right, 19 minutes before one. It feels like we've been using the reuse and recycle for years now, specifically when electing MHKs, as we invariably seem to end up with the same people. Such election, reuse and recycle politicians. Ian, that's Ian's point of view, by the way, on 817. I was in Bride a couple of weeks ago. A man was so rude to staff when they saw him trying to throw away an office chair into a burnable skip. He was awful. They explained about the metal not being burnable, but he wasn't having it. They were professional, they were calm, but he just turned around and said, well, I'll dump it in a field. We recycle glass, aluminium cans, steel cans and plastic into boxes for collection. We then bring our pet food sachets to pets at home, then milk cartons and cardboard to the Eastern Amenities site. Sadly, more often than not, the cardboard is thrown into the household rubbish for burning, says Dewan on 715. And 085 says, I'm sick of hearing about catering for people on cruise liners. Surely it's about looking after our own people first. Well, point taken, but if you invite people to come and visit the Isle of Man, surely you're duty-bound to do something for them. And when we do invite them, visit Isle of Man, the government invites cruise ships here. That's their idea to bring people here. They say they're tourists for the day. They're like day trippers. They come in, they bring some money, they drop some money, and they go away, hopefully, with a nice impression of the Isle of Man. Who knows? They may even come back at some point in the future. A lot of people, this is 683, sorry, a lot of people on the Isle of Man can't get their litter in a bin, never mind recycling. Muruk parts dying. Oh, dear. 916 says, the coaches can be parked by the rugby club on North Shore. All visiting coaches must be informed now or the Muruk will die. Surely not. What state is it in? Coffee shop seems to be doing quite well, doesn't it?
Heating oil for homes, powering farms and businesses, keeping you moving with petrol stations across the island. Ellen Vannin Fuels. Call us on 84 4000.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Order, order! In this case for Manx Car Store, let's review the facts. Firstly, you handpick an excellent range of quality cars for all budgets, are a trusted car sourcing specialist, you knowingly open 7 days a week, and are subject to an excessive number of five-star web reviews. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Very well. This court hereby declares Manx Car Store five-star.
Don't take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook.
Check out the Groudle Glen Railway summer timetable for some great days out. Visit the Clifftop Tea Rooms and Sales Emporium. Book a special steam tea and join our free family train spotting challenge. Hop on the line that goes uphill to the sea. The Groudle Glen Railway. For times, see ggr.org.uk or visit on Facebook.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639-940 for more information or visit qvhpremieroffice.com.
It's Tuesday at 5.30 here on Manx Radio. Join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I speak to Camilla Quintus from Patagonia when she was delivering a seminar, The Truth About Wool.
I visited one of the 9 gardens on display around Bride, Andrus and Sulby, part of the parish of the Northern Plain. And as we heard a couple of weeks ago on the programme, farming can be such a lonely place, and we found out more of how to combat the loneliness from Nicola Curfee and Paula Dunlop from the charitable organisation I'll Stand Up To Suicide.
That's all in Countryside Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 5.30. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hey, Sammy, thank you for this note. It's now the law that all manufacturers of white goods have to carry spare parts for 10 years after the date of the manufacture of the white goods, fridges, washing machines and such like. This was, my view, perhaps one of the best laws the EU made, and it applies to the UK also. This has been around for 10 years, I think. Thank you, Sammy. And I think the laws of right to repair were brought in with the idea of reducing hugely the previous whopping amounts of waste caused by white goods disposal. Can you get white goods actually repaired? It normally costs a fortune to get stuff. That's why they sell all this domestic insurance, isn't there? If you want to get stuff. And how many people actually repair white goods on the Isle of Man? I really would like to hear, if you're in the business of repairing white goods, are there many people? Is it you? Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
Oh, I'm enjoying this climate change, Andy. What about you?
Oh, it's well, it's changed since yesterday anyway.
I think half the island was in Port Erin. It was absolutely fantastic. It was like going back into the 70s or the 80s down there on Saturday. It was absolutely packed. Even Tony Palmer and Alex Brindley had their legs out.
Oh, good.
What about that?
Good Lord.
It was a sight. It was a sight. You're talking about planes there before going over. It was interesting. Last week, I think a Chinook was spotted hovering very low into Garwick. And then the week before, we had a US Air Force Learjet landed at Ronaldsway. Interesting little combination going on there. I was just listening to Matt there going talking about the shows at the theatres and the villa, and again I think the hall, as Matt said there, in times gone by used to be shows on every single night. As I remember, we used to do two shows a week, and the guys used to come in and change the hall over for the next night. And as I was saying before, I think looking at the, you know, what the problem is with a lot of things on the island is the actual cost of getting here. And if you associated it with a ticket price and maybe put the shows on so people like Matt can put shows on and you can sell tickets with a little bit more confidence, put more shows on, and encourage people to come over with a very cheap boat ticket. Because the price of the steam packet is making its money on cars and it's making its money on freight. So if the passenger decks are full, surely that would be worthwhile for the island. It may not be worthwhile for the steam packet with the hassle of carrying more passengers, but it would certainly be worthwhile for our shipping line to carry more people over here. And then we have got fresh money coming into the island, which seems to be the problem. We haven't got fresh money coming in, and that's what we need. So surely that would fill the hotels, that would fill the theatres, it would fill the boat, and you'd have the upsell afterwards. Surely that would be common sense.
Well, I know, Juan, you used to be very closely involved in putting on wrestling on the Isle of Man. When was the last time that the wrestling was here?
Oh, we still do it. I mean, but now it's changed to two shows. We still, when I was doing it in the heyday, we were doing 34 shows here, and then move over to Rhyl, and then move over to North Wales, all around there. It was busy, busy, busy. And now I think the Villa Port, they actually hired the show and put one show a year on. and the hall can stand a lot more than that. But and again, the thing is that the cost of the villa has gone up exponentially. And of course, now they charge a commission on ticket sales, and they also ask for a commission on the merchandise as well. So it's kind of expensive to put a show on there as well now, and that's the thing, people won't gamble. So, you know, kudos to Matt for keeping Tallulah going and for all these years now, and trying to find the theatre angels to keep it going, because the quality of the productions over here and the acting has gone up so much over the years. We've got some fantastic talents. And I tie that in with a conversation I had with a hotelier the other week, and he was saying that Booking.com and Expedia are saying that, you know, they're lacking in inquiries for the Isle of Man, and, you know, what's going on. And that can only be put down to the cost of getting here, because the hoteliers are having to drop their bed prices to get people in. And we know the coach companies, they do all-inclusive, so there's not a lot of massive spend going on within the community when the coaches come over, and the same with the cruise lines. So, you know, I think there needs to be a definite fresh look at how to bring the economy back. tourist economy is the greatest thing we could get, because you're not overloading your economy here with people that are living here, but you've got fresh money coming in and out daily or weekly. So, you know, that seems to be the answer. It worked years ago. And, you know, I think this could be a revival with what's happening in the world now, and you know, the flooding in different places and the excessive heat in some places. The Isle of Man could come into its own again.
Yeah. Okay. All right. June, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Oh, and the other, just on the finish note there, on the Murig Park, Andy.
Yeah.
I remember being having the Murig Park lease 30 years ago, and... But the coaches used to pull up at the side. I used to stay open at night time for the coaches to come down, and the coaches stopped coming. I said to them, why you stop coming down then at night time? And they went, well, the commissioner's told us we can't park our coaches here at night time because it causes congestion. So, hey-ho, just remember, I've been hanging around a long time. I know a lot of this stuff.
Thanks, Stuart.
Cheers, Andy.
Cheers. 075, James says, now, when I walk along Douglas Prom, I'm always struck by the fact that there's nowhere on the seaside where visitors can get tea or a coffee or use the loo. Nothing on the actual the seaside of it, rather than the land side. The toilets by the former boating lake are currently closed. Unbelievable when you consider the age of tourists we're attracting. If you don't know where the loos are on Douglas Promenade, you can be in trouble. There are some, but you need to know where they are. And they don't seem to be advertised. We're back onto the loos of Douglas, aren't we? The lavatory of Douglas. What we need is a tourist board to promote and set up these facilities, because in my opinion, says James, we don't have one at the moment. 2 months ago, while waiting for the electric trams, says 648, we engaged in conversation with a visiting tourist. The reason he was visiting the Isle of Man was to visit the Ramsey Pier. Turns out his bucket list is to visit every pier in Britain. I informed him that if he made a donation to the plank, he could have his name on the pier. He was thrilled to bits, says Brian. I think, am I right, that Ramsey Pier is the 11th longest pier in Britain? Of course, it wasn't the old traditional seaside pier. It was a berthing pier. But it's a big one, it's a long one, and if it weren't for the volunteers, it would be going nowhere. And it costs a fortune. So take away from that what you will. We're on holiday at the moment from the UK, and I find the Isle of Man doesn't recycle a lot. In the UK, recycling's big, with so much being collected outside, curbside, garden stuff, food stuff, paper and plastics. I could go on. They say it's the weight of numbers, 744, that we don't have enough people. And in fact, does it cost us money? Again, we don't really know whether we're contributing to the economy or the government's picking up the slack on this. It would be nice if we knew. I mean, in the future, when this is going to be our way of life, surely we'll be able to see the books on this. Vivian's right, says 068. Why don't the Ramsey coach parties take the visitors to the Moorook? It's a beautiful park. You see the visitors wandering through St Paul's Square, not exactly attractive or interesting, with all the shops that have closed around there. Not much to do. Is there a cafe on St Paul's Square now? I don't think there is anymore, is there? Not only is the Grove Museum closed, says 762, it's in an awful state. Even the boundary walls at the car park have collapsed onto the ground. Neglect, I say. This is neglect. It'll cost long thousands to put right. It's a similar situation to the Laxey Wheel being left to rot until it's too late. Well, if you've got any thoughts on the matter, do get in touch. You can text, you can email, you can WhatsApp, you can do whatever you want. Out of hours, of course. The email address is maninline@manxradio.com. While we're on the air, it's 661368. Adam's with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You all right?
Very well. We've only got about a couple of minutes.
All right, okay. I'm just bringing up, I was going to say, one problem with the tourism industry, to start, is a lot of people don't want to work in it, and also you don't have very good security working in it. And as a hotel worker, as somebody who's been a hotel worker in the Isle of Man and several hotels, it's very difficult to live off a hotel worker's wage. So that is a problem to consider.
Well, that is a very, very good point, Adam.
Yeah, But what I was ringing up for, Andy, is I wanted to say there's not much advertising of the summer concerts that are at St. Thomas's Church, and the weekly summer concerts at St. Thomas's Church, and the weekly Wurlitzer at lunchtime concerts at the Villa Arcade. There's very little advertising of those. And the other thing I was going to say, Andy, is recently the shows, the exhibitions at the Manx Museum have been absolutely fantastic. The Julia Ashby Smythe one was absolutely brilliant. She's probably as good an illustrator as Archibald Knox was a designer. And now the Archibald Knox one is fantastic. It brings together pieces from all over the world. And it is such a wonderful thing. And I think that must attract so many people to the Alaman. I think it is. They really go out of their way to put on an excellent exhibition at the Manx Museum.
Fantastic.
I was going to say, when are we going to see retrospectives? We've had Julia Ashby Smythe, we've had Archibald Knox now. When are we going to have retrospectives of Norman Sale and Tony Onley and Nancy Corkish? You know, all painters which took after Knox, and artists which took after Knox. Norman Staley's been dead 13 years about. I don't know how long Tony Onley's been dead, a good 20 years probably. And Nancy Corkish, she died recently. So when are we going to have retrospectives of them?
Okay.
And let's have as good a retrospectives of them as we've had of exhibitions of the others.
Appreciate it, Adam, and thanks for being so succinct. Good to hear from you today. That's it. Another open line tomorrow. The weather's not turning out too badly. If you want to get in touch, remember the answer phone 682 604 or maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. WINT.